Immigration has become a hot-button issue in the presidential race, with Hillary Clinton promising a pathway to citizenship and Donald Trump vowing to deport 11 million undocumented, mainly Hispanic immigrants and building a wall along the Mexican border.
But census figures show that Hispanics no longer make up the majority of immigrants to the U.S. and that the number of Mexicans who are illegally in the country has actually dropped sharply in the past 6 years.
With us now is Josh Boak, economics reporter with the Associated Press. His article on the evolving face of immigration is part of the AP's Divided America series, which explores the economic, social, and political divisions in American society. Josh, welcome to Central Time.
Great to be here.
Well, this Divided America series seems to really zoom in on these individual lives, these human stories. We get a human face to immigration. In the process of your reporting on this project, what did you learn about immigration that really surprised you?
I think that there's this tremendous mismatch between the political and public rhetoric about immigration and what we actually see happening in the data. And when we started to drill down into the economic research, when we started to look at the actual numbers in the census and look at some of the changes that happened after the Great Recession, we saw that the debate about the southern border, about unauthorized immigrants, really didn't fully describe the immigration patterns we were seeing right now. And that is that the United States has shifted to bringing in better educated immigrants, largely from India and China. And that changes the economics of immigration because these households tend to earn more. These households are less dependent on government programs, which was one of the critiques of letting in less educated immigrants. And when we surveyed economists on this, the Associated Press talked to 26 economists. All of them said that immigrants make the U.S. economy stronger. So we tried to explain what we saw in the data in human terms. We went to Raleigh, North Carolina to do that because we had a massive pocket of Indian immigrants who worked in the tech and medical sectors.
Mm-hmm.
But then just south, we'd had communities that had been on the verge of population collapse until there was a wave of Mexican immigrants beginning in the 1990s.
And the Pew Research Center said last year that more Mexicans were leaving the U.S. than coming, and ending one of the biggest immigration waves in U.S. history. So, you know, when you went to these places and saw this new face of immigration, you know, what are their stories? What are they telling you?
So I spent a lot of time at basically a Hindu temple outside Raleigh. And one of the stories that we heard time and time again was this overall trend. And a lot of the patterns that we're observing now have their seeds in Y2K. If you remember Y2K, that was when it was supposed to turn 2000 and all our computers were going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And companies had to bring in Indian software coders to make sure that the computers were okay. And that was many of their first introductions to life in the United States. And after that initial opening, more of them kind of increased their skills. They found opportunities here in the United States, obtained permanent residency, married, brought children, that kind of thing, and really made the United States their home. And this is a critical aspect because if we look at the immigrants right now, over the age of 25, half of them are United States citizens. If we were to go back several years, roughly a third of them were. So this is a big change. We're getting more educated immigrants, and they're more likely to become citizens than they were in the past. And that's like the enormity of that change in the gap with the public rhetoric, which is focused on unauthorized immigrants, is just stunning to us.
Immigration, in last night's debate, the third presidential debate, we heard the candidates, their positions on immigration, which mostly centers on immigrants of Mexican or Latin American origin. How do those positions play to the demographic realities that you have been finding and that your reporting highlights?
Well, it's important to note that we still have a large number of Latino immigrants in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're concentrated in several states. And and that in many cases they provide very real services in communities. Often the statistics that say immigrants aren't making contributions to the United States are the ones that compare kind of cost to taxpayers. But if you go to communities like Duplin County in North Carolina, where Donald Trump has campaigned, what you would see is that these workers came into an area that was on the verge of losing population and enabled farms and multiple businesses to stay in existence. You know, one of the secrets to economic growth is you need to either increase population or increase productivity. And the increase in population was critical for keeping the economies of these areas going. Now, the flip side is, while Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have dueled over Latino immigrants, the decisions made by Asian immigrants are really going to matter in this campaign. Shortly after our article came out, Donald Trump actually campaigned at a Hindu center in New Jersey. But overall, Asian immigrants identify with the Democratic Party. And as their numbers continue to grow in the United States, that could become a demographic vulnerability for Republicans, which is one of the reasons why North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory, who's in a re-election battle and has cracked down on illegal immigration inside that state, specifically has been campaigning at the Hindu temple.
In a recent piece in your Divided America series caught my attention, exploring viewpoints of disenfranchised white men in America who say their options are shrinking, that it's harder to find good jobs, and that they want the country they once knew back. And the article reaches into immigration. It also expands into other cultural changes taking place. Wondering how this segment of white males who are feeling marginalized inform this larger Divided America discussion and how they fit into the context of what's going on in immigration.
Well, this is a really interesting subject area because we've seen, particularly in this election, older white males with high school educations express tremendous discontent about the direction they see society going and about the place they see in that society. And some of those kind of concerns are rooted in the economics. We've seen that their wages really aren't going up because wages aren't going up for people with only high school educations right now. This is a long-term, multi-decade problem. But secondly, we also see some cultural discomfort, right, in which, in a sense, what's come about is a zero-sum mindset. And that zero-sum mindset is that if someone else is winning, then I must be losing. And if I'm winning, then someone else is losing. That doesn't always work that way in economics, but these voters, based off their experiences, have seen that. And after writing the article, I heard from many people who feel as though immigrants, even educated immigrants, are a drag on society because they take away jobs from U.S. citizens. What economists say is, yes, there are going to be people who are winners and losers in this pattern, but overall, they provide us with greater economic growth. And I think that this is one of the interesting nubs of this debate that after the article I came across is many people said, well, what's so great about economic growth if I don't feel like I'm benefiting from that growth?
Josh, thank you for talking with us today.
It's my pleasure.
That was Josh Boak, economics reporter with the Associated Press.